As Peter has told you, he had asked me to share some experiences that I had. We need to go back to the setting, just a few diversing from my written script that I have here. It was 1954. At that time, in 1953, the United States had just signed a ceasefire order with North Korea. The war still goes on, even though that happened. At the following, right after that, as I was researching some of this, I found that President Eisenhower signed the first aid to Vietnam, which was really the beginning. So it really transitioned from the Korean War to the Vietnam War at that point. Well, there was a draft at that time, and all young men had to serve in some kind of, if they qualified physically, pass a physical examination. I chose to apply for a position that the draft allowed that was made for people who opposed military service, and that was, but they had to serve in some jobs that qualified as importance for national interests. That was not always the case in World War I and World War II. That was not the case, and they were inducted, and when they refused, that's a whole other story. Since I had just graduated from Goshen College with a degree in education, I heard that teaching on an Indian reservation would qualify. I applied, wrote a letter, received a letter back. I was hired. No personal interviews, no nothing. I had never met an Indian. I had heard about them. I had ideas. They were passed around, but I had never met a real live Indian on it. My knowledge consists mostly of what I had learned, picked up from books, stereotypes that I had heard from this, and the stereotypes, I think, particularly that I picked up was, were the immigrants coming into the United States, were the good guys? They were so glad to see us. They welcomed us, and we were the cowboys and Indians were always at each other, and the cowboys were the good guys. They always won, and the Indians lost. You've heard the movies. I remember distinctly going to Arizona to report to work. I reported to the Bureau of Indian Affairs in Gallup, New Mexico, filling out more papers. There were no paved roads into Tuba City. The 11-mile drive on the sandy road seemed long. Finally, I passed a few hogans and saw children playing nearby. Here were real Indians. The road curved along the edge of a mesa. Off to the left was Tuba City Trading Post, with wagons loaded with water barrels and more real Indians coming and going. I learned later that when they came to the trading post, it was probably once a week, and they spent this day there as a social event on it. I was then taken to the superintendent, or looked up the superintendent's office and found it and reported and told them that I was who I was and introduced myself. And the first question I got asked by the superintendent was, "How old are you?" I was taken then to the main office and to meet Miss Main, the principal of the school. After meeting her, I located Harry Graber, who was a friend of mine from Goshen College, who was already there. Some of you probably who attended Goshen knew him. The fortunate part I think about was that Miss Main took a liking to Harry and to me, and I think she thought we needed a mother to watch us while we were there. With only a couple of weeks until school starting, teachers were asked if they wanted to help register students with the Navajo interpreter and guide. Of course, I volunteered. I have no idea where we went. I depended upon my Navajo guide to find families and tell me what they had said. He could have told me anything, I don't know. One Hogan we visited had a child that had not been given a name, and they wanted me to suggest a name. So if you ever meet a Navajo named Wilmer, you can know how he got that name. No, that last sentence is really not true. I gave some other suggestions. My first day in the classroom, I had 33 students, the youngest being 6 years old and the oldest 12 years old, none of whom spoke English. I never had a college class that told me what to do in this type of a classroom. If I had been drafted, I probably would have deserted at that, or if I had been in the Army basis, I probably would have deserted at that time on it. Well, after finishing my service and coming home, I was not married at that point, but Mary and I talked about at some point we would want to do some kind of a service. We had no idea at that point where this service would be. We hadn't even thought about it, and certainly didn't think it would take us back to the reservation. Life has changed for Native Americans today, but poverty, stereotyping, alcohol continues to be a roadblock. There is hope, though. I read that there are Native Americans being elected to political offices. More Native people are graduating from college with medical and teaching degrees. And so as I look back, I see so many ways in which this had impacted my future life. I would probably never have been gone to teach in this kind of a situation had I not been forced with the draft. So I want to thank the U.S. government for providing an alternative to military service on it, because I think many young men would not have gone that route. I want to thank those brave people who were drafted in World War I and II and how they set the tone, and to the family, my family, for support for during that time. God knew that there was land between Europe and India. I have heightened my awareness with scriptures as a result of that, and I think I have seen God coming down on the side of the poor, the lame, the immigrants, the aliens in our world today, which still continues. Oh, I just see the sign back here. I want to comment on it. Who really, just to comment on that, who discovered America? Silence. This is a side effect. It's interesting that the native tribes have their own creation stories. Are those in conflict with our creation story? I know the Navajo tribe's creation story is that they came out of a hole in the ground. And that's how the first people were. Is that in conflict with taking dust of the earth and building people? So those are just some of the interesting things that I think that we learned from that.